Hello, friends, and welcome to the Healing Ground Movement. Now, for more content and bonus features, you can join us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, all of our content is delivered freely, so please consider supporting the show by donating via the link on our website at healinggroundmovement.com or liking and reviewing the podcast on your favorite platform.
Enjoy today's episode.
Today's episode is brought to you by one of my all-time favorite apps, Blinkist. I found out about this app when I was pregnant and didn't have as much time to read, particularly into those early years of mothering, and it has been a game changer. Blinkist brings you knowledge from top nonfiction and podcasts so you can learn anytime, anywhere, and the best part is it condenses it down into 15 minutes. You can either listen or read to key ideas from best-selling nonfiction in just 15 minutes. So you keep getting all of these great recommendations, all the parenting books, all the health books, all of the things that you know you should be doing and know that you should know more about, but you just don't have the time to read the full version. You can get the Cliff Notes version from Blinkist. They have teamed up with podcast creators to bring you key insights from podcasts as well. And there is expert curation, their handpicked recommendation tailored to what you're interested in. So the more you listen, the more specific your recommendations get. Visit healinggroundmovement.com/resources for a free trial of Blinkist. I know you're going to love it as much as I do. Enjoy today's episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. I am your host, Dr. Carly Hudson. And with us today, we have Marina Couric. I am so excited to have this discussion. Marina and I were just chatting a little bit before I hit record about how important and how hungry people are to understand stress and burnout in their lives. We have gone through a crazy couple of years that are just, you know, the icing on the cake of a crazy lifestyle we were all living beforehand. And now we really want to figure out how to unwind ourselves from this constant stress. So Marina is a stress buster, joy finder, and holistic wellness coach focusing on stress and burnout prevention in high achievers and entrepreneurs. Her passion is helping people affected by chronic stress feel calm, confident, and resilient. She left a successful career in HR technology to pursue her passion of helping people feel happier and healthier through realistic and sustainable health habits. She now coaches individuals and works with companies all over the world while traveling full time. She is a certified integrative nutrition coach, 200-hour yoga teacher trained, mediation teacher, personal trainer, and corporate wellness business owner. So she certainly has run the bases on wellness and health, and she is here to enlighten us today. Marina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Carly. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So tell us a little bit how you made that transition, because you were definitely in the 9-to-5 world that I think so many of our listeners are trying to figure out how to navigate.
Yeah, definitely. So I am a huge believer in making your mess your message. So that is something that has kind of guided my own transition over the past 5 years. I started out actually in the field of HR. So I was in HR technology first as a consultant. So I was traveling a lot. Then I was a project and program manager at the fastest growing startup at the time. And I was living in first Chicago and then New York. So very familiar with the busy life of the city, 12-hour days, working on the weekends. And at the time, stress is something that was having a huge toll on me, both my physical body, as well as my mental health and my relationships, and of course my career. And so it's through my own wellness journey first of just understanding and taking a look at what I was dealing with myself, the impact that stress was having on me. And then through the different aspects of my background now, through yoga, through mindfulness and meditation, through my health coaching background, I was able to really pivot first my own health. And then I started to really spend all my free time looking at and learning more and more about the body And yeah, happy to be doing what I'm doing today. I call myself a holistic stress coach because I really like taking a 360 degree view at how stress affects us. So again, not just one-sided, not just talking about physical wellness, but also talking about mental health, emotional health, and the impact that our careers are having on us. That's something that I think is something we're really mindful of now as a result of the pandemic. I think it's great that we are more mindful than ever before of stress and of the need for self-care than ever before. So I found that to be one of the silver linings of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think that it has become really obvious, particularly over the last few years when we have merged work and home life and all the pieces that come together, we can no longer pigeonhole stress to one culprit and burnout to one culprit, which those of us in the wellness and holistic field, we've been like railing at this all along, but to say that it permeates all areas of your life. So we've got to look at it for all areas of your life. I'm curious if you'd be willing to share with us, when you talk about the toll that stress was taking on your body and your relationship and your health, maybe a bird's eye view of what you were experiencing. How did you know that you were having a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I work with a lot of high achievers now, and I speak to a lot of companies and a lot of corporate events. And so the audience is always really driven, really motivated. And with that, what tends to happen is we start to put ourselves last when we want to achieve so much and we have so many goals that we're driven towards. What I see with high achievers, that was definitely the case with me as well, is that for many of us, stress starts in college or even before that, in adolescence, in our childhood, when, you know, we are pushed to excel from an early age, then we get to college and maybe, you know, there's all sorts of different things that we expect to do and create. And so by the time we get into our careers, for many of us, and this is the case for me, there was already decades of unprocessed stress that I was carrying with me. And so the peak of when I realized that something had to change is I was on a work trip. I was by myself. So as a consultant, I traveled often. And in this trip, I happened to be by myself. I was in Minneapolis. And I remember all of my symptoms kind of coming to surface all at once, just kind of in a 10x way. I was having trouble sleeping. This was a week-long trip that I was on. So waking up with anxiety, I couldn't really feel hunger. So I was really just having a meal a day, just knowing that I had to fuel myself in some way. And I had heart palpitations. So this is something that's unique to me and my stress response. And I always say that different people process stress in different ways. Everyone is so unique. Bioindividuality means that no two people are alike. So for me, the way that stress was manifesting was heart palpitations, actually feeling my heart skip a beat. I was feeling really lightheaded. So I was presenting for the entire day when I was on site with this client, and I was feeling dizzy just getting up from my desk, being in front of this audience. And so coming back from that trip, I remember really I had no tools at the time. So I even went back in my Amazon history to see what some of the things that I was purchasing at the time were, because I remember trying to order some supplements for stress support. And just really starting there of not knowing where to turn to, but knowing something had to change, and having these conversations with friends at the time. We were still early on in our career. We were in our mid-20s, but it was such a common theme where every time I shared with someone what I was experiencing, everyone was already at the place of, well, yeah, isn't that just what happens to all of us? Isn't that just how it is? And I was like, no, this is kind of the first time that I'm feeling this level of stress and this impact. And my roommate at the time said, well, I think you have anxiety. And I said, what is that? I mean, truly up to that point, you know, it's not something that we're ever taught. It's not something that we know how to deal with or have any tools for self-support. So that's what was happening for me. And that's kind of what triggered the journey.
Everything that comes next. And wow, to start experiencing that kind of insomnia and heart palpitations in your 20s. I mean, I still think still so young to be dealing with that kind of outpouring. And I really love that you highlighted two, I think, really important things that make this stress culture so pervasive. And one is that it's a really learned behavior from prolonged high achievement. Talking about, you know, beginning in our early academic years. I'm saying "our" because you had me nailed with that one.
Yeah.
That we need to perform, and that continues to compound on itself. There's not really a teaching of perform and rest, but go. And, you know, that's very much the culture that we grew up in. But the other piece that I think makes it difficult or has made it difficult to address stress and burnout is how much it has been normalized. This idea of "don't we all?" You know, I will see this in my office often when I talk to my patients and I ask them, "Oh, so how often are you getting these headaches that are perhaps tension headaches or migraines, which are often triggered by stress?" And they will say, "Oh, the normal amount."
Mm.
And like, what's the normal amount of headache? Zero is where I'm coming from. So you tell me what the normal amount. But we generally accept people are anxious, they don't sleep, they have headaches, and they don't have much passion for life. That's normal, right? Not so much, huh?
Definitely not. Yeah.
So maybe we should start with diving into how do we recognize stress? How can we start to peel apart this normalized experience of overdoing?
Yeah. So something that you just said that I think is so important is this "don't we all" mentality. Mm-hmm. And what I feel like people are marketed self-care as are, you know, getting a massage or going to the spa once a month and just making sure that we're checking the boxes to just keep ourselves afloat. And I know that when we're stressed for time and we don't have enough time, maybe we're also a parent and we have multiple responsibilities, finding time for yourself is difficult. So we can talk about that specifically. But when that's the case, we only do enough to just keep ourselves going. We rarely give ourselves a chance to fully undo and recover from these years and sometimes decades of stress that we're carrying. The way I like to think of it with my clients when I talk to someone for the first time is imagine a bucket and I put a hose inside of the bucket and I turn the water on and I can control the amount of water that's flowing, right? Sometimes maybe it's trickling in, sometimes it's going full steam, but we are the bucket. And that stress and the water coming through the hose is the stress. And so what happens is at a point, the bucket can't take any more water. The water is going to start spilling out. So for me, that was that point on that work trip where I realized I can no longer contain all the stress in the body. For many of us, what we do is we take a drill and we just drill tiny holes in the bucket to allow the water to start trickling out. But the stress is still flowing. It's still flowing in. And we rarely allow ourselves to fully empty out that bucket and to really just reset from everything that we've been carrying. And so it's not just about, you know, emptying out the bucket because the stress will still keep flowing, right? Sometimes it's flowing full steam. Sometimes it's just trickling in, but it's always going to be there. So what we have to focus on is increasing our resilience. So increasing the size of the bucket, but also giving ourselves that honest chance to recover and fully empty out from time to time, at least, you know, a couple times a year, giving yourself that space. And so what I think it starts with to your first question is that many of us rarely have a chance to check in with ourselves and we don't have the deep level of awareness that's needed for change. In order to change anything in our life, we have to start with awareness. But if we don't give ourselves an opportunity to check in with ourselves and just to notice, some of my few favorite questions that I encourage everyone listening to think about is, what is my current level of stress? 0 to 10, 10 being the worst stress of my life, 0 being I'm on a beach every single day. Where are you right now? And where is the stress coming from? And that's such an important question because I think sometimes people are really aware of how you feel day in and day out. Maybe you're nodding your head right now and saying I'm 8 and above. It's been really difficult for the past couple of weeks, months, whatever. But then the next question is, where is it coming from? And where I like to start is, let's just get it out there, like what you think the sources of stress are and the reasons for the stress in your life. Because rarely are the reasons that we give the actual underlying reasons. So then we really just get to go on a journey and figure out, are the things that you think causing you stress really it? Is there anything underlying that that's a little bit deeper that we can address? Because what I'm really interested in is not just learning the tools to get you through the stressful times. I'm super here for that. I love mindfulness. I love teaching others breathwork techniques that help us calm the body when we're in stress right now. But how can we also address the deeper underlying issues that are the ones that are causing you to feel stressed first thing in the morning and then day in and day out in your life? So I think it's about both, but it all starts with awareness and just asking yourself those few simple questions to start and just start to identify why you're feeling the way that you are.
Love that. And I completely agree. When we don't have awareness of what's happening, it makes it impossible to change anything. We know there is a something that we can't quite put our finger on, but without dialing into what needs to change, we are really powerless against it. Now, what really struck me, and I'm curious if you'll dig in a little bit deeper on that, is that where we think stress is coming from, where we think our big triggers of stress are, is usually not quite the end all be all. So there's a whole nother layer of awareness coming to this. Yeah.
There's a whole nother layer. And this is where the emotional awareness comes into play, because something that we have are primary emotions and then we have secondary emotions. And so if I were to ask you, you know, when you're triggered, what is it that you feel? Many people will say anger or frustration, or any number of other more surface level emotions that come to light. And those are the loudest emotions, right? Something like anger, it's really loud. It catches our attention. And so that's what we think is it. That's what we think is the issue. It's just the anger. We stop there. We get stuck in the anger or whatever other emotion caught your attention that was loud enough to do that. But what actually is the case is that underneath the anger, there's something deeper. Maybe whatever triggered you and caused anger on the surface, deep down below that trigger, maybe you actually feel hurt or sad, or maybe someone activated is something from your subconscious, from your past, from your childhood, from your adolescence. And if you're, you know, listening to this and you're like, well, I have no idea if that's the case for me, few people do. Very few of us have a chance to work to that level of awareness. And that's why support comes into play, right? Having conversations about what you're dealing with, having conversations about the stress in your life. The conversation is the medicine, right? Mm-hmm. It's that first step to help you uncover what the primary emotions underneath your triggers and your stress really are. And what tends to be the case is, because we live in this hyper-connected society, we're always on, we're always just trying to push through, going from Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting, always having all these notifications on in our field of vision and on our phone, our emotional range has been decreased. So our emotional palette has been decreased to really, if I were to ask you, you know, what are the feelings that you feel daily? Many of us will come up with things like anger or frustration, hunger, maybe discomfort, maybe tiredness. And it's just a few of these emotions that we can identify. But human beings have a wide variety of feelings and emotions that we are capable of feeling. It's just that we're rarely fully present with these nuanced feelings that happen for us day in and day out. And so it's also just about kind of relearning how to feel and pausing. And what I often hear people say is, well, I'm just so stressed. I'm so stressed right now. This is how I've been feeling for the past month. I'm stressed every day. And I say, okay, let's pause and let's find what else you're feeling, because rarely is it just stress as a blanket term. We're nuanced creatures, right? Mm-hmm. There's a number of different things that happen to us throughout the day. And it's, again, it's that process of checking in and asking yourself at multiple points throughout the day, how am I feeling right now? And how am I doing? And what is it that I need in this moment? It's going to vary from hour to hour at times, right? And the exciting thing about that is that the more we bring that mindful awareness to our day-to-day experience, and the more we start to discern how we're feeling between different events in the day, the more we can start to identify when we're feeling okay, when we're feeling where things are going well. Maybe sometimes we notice and it's like, hey, am I stressed right now? No, I'm just bored. Or am I stressed right now? No, I'm just a little annoyed. That's great. Let's start to become aware of the other feelings that we're also experiencing. And on the other side of that, we can start to also pick up on these tiny little pockets of joy and happiness that many of us do experience. We're just not conscious to them because we're rarely fully present with them. It's about ending a call or a conversation and checking in with yourself and saying, hey, I actually feel really energized from that talk. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, spending some time with your kids at the end of the day and feeling really nourished by that time and finding these little pockets and taking back the energy back to yourself and finding more of the good in the everyday life so that we can stop saying, you know, today it's just been a stressful day. It's like, what else is true?
That is so good. I mean, what a wonderful wealth of information in all of that. And I think it really starts to highlight what you really mean by awareness. We can so comfortably start to pull together a catch-all term. It's easier. It's easier when someone asks how you're doing that you can answer, oh, I'm fine. And now it does really seem like as we have this whole culture of burnout and stress, that another acceptable answer is stress. And that's kind of it, because where the how you doing question doesn't really invite a lot of nuance and a lot of self-reflection. And so that is the very narrow world in which we exist. Either we're stressed or we're fine, but we're not awestruck or nourished or full of joy or mm-hmm. angry or bored or irritated. All of it has to be in this binary place. And that really takes a lot of color and a lot of control out of our worlds. So I love this idea of starting to add a little bit more texture to how you engage with your day, and then understanding what fills you up or what is going to take away from your happiness.
Yes, definitely. It's one of the most, I love that you, what is it? Awestruck and nourished. I just love that, uncovering new ways to describe how you're feeling and just reminding yourself that it doesn't have to be just one way every single day.
Mm-hmm. And it's these little moments in it. I think of it. I'm from Colorado originally, and I grew up with the most beautiful view of the Rocky Mountain Range. And so I would head out to school, and I was old enough, I'd drive to school, and I would come over this edge of a hill in my neighborhood and get right, you know, picture perfect view. And I would be awestruck every single day by these gorgeous mountains. And now I live somewhere else in the city, but I still get that moment. And I kind of use this as a leading question, because I think there is that choice point that comes with it, that as I'm stressing and rushing to get my kid out the door and drop her off at school, because then I have to get to work because I'm seeing patients, but I turn that corner on our walk to school and there are the most gorgeous mountain ranges I've ever seen. And I'm awestruck. Well, that just interrupted my thought process right there. Mm. What was I stressing about? I can't remember. The mountains are just so dang gorgeous.
I love that.
Where does this awareness, how does this awareness act to interrupt and give us the opportunity to do anything different? Or does it? Is it just me?
Yeah, I love that. No, it's exactly right where you said it just interrupts the pattern. Because for so many of us, stress is just a pattern. It's something that we've learned, and that's what ends up playing out every single day. We're just living out yesterday in today, and then we take that forward and forward and forward. So every single day is almost like Groundhog Day, right? Where it's the same emotions that we felt yesterday, the same events are happening to us, we respond to them in the exact same way. So something has to interrupt that. And so I think focusing on the present moment, right? Being more present with your surroundings, with your kids, with what's literally around you in the vicinity, that you can actually pause and fully take in, that those are the moments of that interruption of the stress response. And something important, I think, to mention too on this topic of feelings and the range of feelings that we're capable of experiencing is The other important question along the lines of what's your level of stress and where is stress coming from for you that's occurring to me to ask is, what is the opposite of stress for you? How do you actually want to feel? Because beyond awareness of the now, we also want to start to chip away at what our goal is. How do we actually want to feel every day? And moving through that gradually, if you're starting from a level 10 stress, maybe right now where you want to get to is just simply feeling calm, right? Maybe you just want to feel more at peace for longer in your days. Once we get there, once we get to a place of feeling more calm and maybe more centered, maybe then we can reach for and create a goal of finding more joy and happiness and then more energy with it. So it's about being gentle with yourself and moving through that spectrum. And to that end, I think something that is really important to mention here is not making any of these feelings and emotions wrong. Because I think if we look at a spectrum of emotions, even if you were just to Google, right, different emotions, scale of emotions, whatever it might be, there are feelings that you'll see being at the top. And then there's feelings that you'll see being at the bottom, like sadness or grief or anger. And the important thing to recognize is that without these quote unquote negative feelings, we wouldn't know what the positive feelings look like. So they are needed for us to really understand when things are going well, right? We need that kind of counterbalance in our life and in our experience. And just the most important thing is that when you don't allow yourself to feel a feeling fully, when you're focusing on the negative aspects of something and you're just trying to suppress it and bottle it up, what tends to happen, and I think many of us have been there before, is there's a point where that bucket overflows, right? We can no longer suppress something. It's spilling over. And that's when we start to spill over at our kids, at our team, whoever else is in our surroundings at that time. And so when we recognize that certain feelings, whether we've thought of them as negative in the past or something that we should eliminate entirely, that's actually not the case. We're human and we're going to feel this full range and we're meant to feel the full range. And when we're in those moments of anger or frustration or whatever the negative feeling that you feel daily might be, just allow yourself to accept that that's where you currently are in this range, in the spectrum, and just give yourself the grace to say, you know, right now I'm angry. If through simply the process of acknowledging, I promise you, if you stay with it and just accept it for what it is without making yourself wrong and increasing that resistance, that feeling will start to dissolve just any amount. So it's really from this suppressing, from making ourselves wrong, for feeling down or upset about how it is that we're feeling, that we actually amplify those negative feelings that we want to reduce.
Because those feelings, as you're saying, it's not that they are negative, as we've learned to call them. It's everything is about dosing. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a whole nother side of this conversation that we've covered in the podcast before about spiritual bypassing and overwhelming ourselves to say everything is fine all the time and not acknowledging that we can be sad or we can be angry. That neither one of those is a terribly authentic way of living. And actually, your example, I'm going to share an example that just happened a couple of days ago in my house of exactly this thing, where I get to learn from my kid. So as I mentioned, I have this little kid, and my listeners know of her because I can't help but bring her up in my podcast, but her birthday is coming up. And she's a little turkey baby. It's coming up on Thanksgiving here in the United States. So she'll turn five, and she has never had a birthday party because her mother has never planned ahead enough to get outside of the Thanksgiving window. So this year it's going to happen. She's going to get her first birthday. And we have it all planned out for the evening of last Saturday. And that morning we got an email from her school saying there was a COVID exposure in her classroom and we all needed to shut down. And we had to cancel her birthday. And I still feel that feeling about it, that sadness. And as I've shared this story, people will meet me with that sadness. And so you can imagine that my daughter was devastated. And I immediately sprung into action. I'm going to come up with another plan. And my husband stayed up there with her and let her be devastated. and acknowledge the I hear yours. She'll say she's sad. Yes, this is so sad. Yes, this is so disappointing. And by the time I was finished with about my 20 minutes of problem solving, they were laughing upstairs. She was laughing and giggling. She went through the devastation, the anger, the sadness, all of these emotions of having this thing taken away from her that she was so excited for and was ready to be on to the next thing. And I stayed in problem solving mode for the next 5 hours. And we had a drive-by birthday, you know, the COVID birthdays, and it all turned out great. But once I ran out of things to do and I was sitting alone in my car, the feelings caught up with me. And I decided to take a note from my kid's book, my husband too, because he was the one that led it. And I just cried and I railed and I was angry and I was upset and it was unfair. And I just went through all of it, as irrational as it felt, as wrong as I was thinking it should be, because the problem was solved. I had fixed it. We had a new plan, but the emotions came back. And I rolled with them. And then we had such a lovely evening. We forgot to be disappointed. It all turned out amazing in the end.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
But if we had stuffed any of those emotions and said it wasn't okay to be disappointed, or said it wasn't okay to be angry or hurt or any of these things, I think we can all even find another example where that might have permeated any other solution that may have come up. They would have been an uninvited guest to the party.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love the, we forgot to be disappointed. That's such a good example. And way to be amazing parents, because, you know, the longer I do this work and the longer I go to different personal development events and, you know, I have a wide circle of coaches and therapists, and we work with people to undo some of these things from the past that we're still carrying. I think that's going to make such a difference for your daughter, because the outcome matters so much, right? It could either be suppressed, and then that's something that she creates a meaning of in the negative direction, as though it means something about her or her worthiness of having a party. I mean, that's such a young age and we're so impressionable at that time. Or she could have an example of what it looks like to, in a healthy way, really process and make an empowered meeting out of something, you know, maybe teaching her that sometimes there's things that are outside of our control and learning how to deal with that. You know, it's really crazy to see how many adults carry these things from childhood, from adolescence, from our earlier years, and then we invalidate them because we think, oh my gosh, I'm 40 now. How could I still be stuck on this event that happened in childhood? But these things are super valid. Mm-hmm. I had my birthday party canceled in New York when COVID just started in spring 2020. New York shut down on the day of my birthday party, and I was supposed to have 150 people celebrating me and another friend. It was a joint party, and I felt all those same things. So it's like at every age, we have to go through this process and the five stages, right? The denial, anger, sadness, bargaining, and then acceptance. It's almost like when we really become tapped in and give ourselves grace to be able to do that, we're probably going to go through these five stages almost daily, right?
Yeah.
And just allowing ourselves to feel anger, sadness, whatever it might be. And then I think the last step to it has to be creation of like the choice of how do I want to feel now? I've accepted this trigger, this event, something unexpected or stressful happening. Now that I've processed it and I've moved through the experience, I have a choice in what happens next.
I love that you added creation to that, because I do think when we talk about these five steps, they feel despairing. They feel like, why on earth would I want to go through all of that crap just to have acceptance and then sit in this crap that I just went through? And that's really not the outcome that we're going for here. It's this idea that when you are suppressing these emotions or living only in stress and trying to get from one thing to the next, we are in survival mode. And we can't be in survival mode and growth at the same time. It's just not the way our physiology and our bodies work. And so if you run through all of these so-called negative emotions, but just these reality of going through a survival moment, and, you know, these birthday parties seem like, you know, little petty tears in comparison to everyone, but this matters. This is what makes up our world. And so we can't put a value base on it when it hits us hard. So we go through these emotional hits, then we come out of stress mode and we can head to growth and we can head to creation. And that, to me, I think is such an underrated and underexplored part of doing the work of stress and burnout. Because to do it, to just not feel stressed anymore, well, that's fine. But to do it because on the other side of that is creation and growth, now that's just a field of wildflowers, my friend. This is phenomenal. So thank you for bringing up that next stage.
I just jotted down, you can be in survival and growth at the same time. That's so great. And you know why this is also really important? And I think it goes to the work that you do as well. Why I'm so interested in allowing people to re-experience the full range of emotions and get to know them and stop invalidating their experiences is that we've been focused on talk therapy and conversations as the end all and be all of the help that we can give ourselves. And I know that I just said conversations are the medicine, and they absolutely are. But also when we suppress emotions, they get stored somewhere. And so something I'm super interested in recently over this past year and learning more about incorporating into my work is somatic healing of this quote comes up over and over now, the issues are in the tissues. Well, anything that we don't process gets stored somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this is where I see this manifest. Again, we're so unique and individual, so it's going to come up in different ways for different people. But sometimes you'll see people who are a vision of health, and then you hear about them getting a chronic disease. Well, where does that come from? If it's not from the ways that you're nourishing yourself, if you're getting enough sleep and enough exercise, it has to come from somewhere. And I think an overwhelming amount of these really, you know, unclear source diseases and issues that people face are from that emotional well-being that just doesn't have any other outlet other than to create that disorder in the body. And I'm curious if that's, you know, something that you also see with your work, because you are focused on the body.
Yeah. It's true. We say issues in the tissues all the time in my office from when I was a massage therapist now onward to chiropractic. And you see it release, or you see the chronic posture, or you see the body just not holding up well in the face of stress. And there's several different studies that kind of look at doctor's visits, and this is particularly in the United States, but it's a range being at least, if not more than, 80% of doctor's visits, reasons for, you know, going to the doctor, can be traced down to chronic stress. And that we can bring cardiovascular disease to chronic stress. We can bring insulin resistance in its early stages around a chronic stress, autoimmune, asthma, chronic pain. So I think I shared this story before, but I had a patient that was a picture of health otherwise, but she had chronic pain, back pain to be specific. And she did all of the exercises I gave her just to the T. She had amazing compliance. She showed up, but I could not get her to stay out of my office longer than 2 weeks at a time. She would keep coming back with pain over and over again. Now I could write this off and say that, well, she's just lying to me. She's not actually doing the work, but that's not who she is. And that's not who I am. I did know at the time she was in a really stressful work environment, hated her job. And every time she came in and I'm working on her back, she would start telling me about how much she hated her job and what was wrong with it this week. And finally, after it's years longer than I had wished for her, she quit her job. And she saw me once to tell me she quit her job. And then I didn't see her again for 6 months. And all of a sudden she was no longer in pain, no longer needed me to attend to her back pain, because she's fine. And the stress, the issues were no longer in her tissues. So it manifests physiologically the way that we can expect having a cascade of cortisol and all of these, you know, chemical reactions that turn into chronic disease. But it's also how we hold ourselves and how our bodies react. So you're absolutely right. we can't separate ourselves from our mental and emotional health, from our physical health. We are one in the same in this singular container we're carrying ourselves through in this life.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's such a great example.
Okay. She's doing amazing to this day. So I'll just throw that out there. So we kind of talked though now as we're coming around to it, and I do want to leave a little time for simple habits and suggestions that you may have for our listeners, but we've talked about this momentary instance of stress, but in a way that it has become culturally normal. Constant stress, pervasive stress. Well, you know, that's just the cost of waking up every morning, but now we've up-leveled it and we've got burnout. How is burnout different than stress? How does one lead to the other?
Yeah. So it's so important to recognize, right, through that process of self-inquiry and questioning of what is my stress level right now? How long have you been feeling that way? Because our bodies are incredibly resilient and we can get through some just incredible things that we never imagined we'd be able to through the adaptability of the body. However, the body is not able to deal with stress for weeks and months and years. And so, you know, for many of us, we have this amazing survival mechanism that kicks in every single day on a small level. Mm-hmm. And so stress is that kind of latent presence in the background of our life, even when we aren't necessarily faced with, you know, an unexpected bill or a stressful conversation or a car accident. Those are all the acute stress response, but we're now living with chronic stress response when we feel this way every single day. And so I think a few signals to really be mindful of in just understanding whether you're maybe reaching burnout or at that point, it's when chronic stress goes on for a really long time and the different systems in the body start to break down. From an emotional standpoint, a few things that are commonly define stress as is first depersonalization. So it's losing the ability to be able to relate to what someone is going through and really reaching that point of just kind of emotional numbness is how I would describe it. Then there's emotional exhaustion. So really feeling like you can't go any longer without, you know, just totally crashing and burning out. And then there's a decreased sense of accomplishment. So feeling like no matter how much more you create, how much more you do, none of it makes a difference. And this happens a lot for high achievers where we tend to think that we'll just work our way out of the stress that we're facing. Rarely is that what's needed.
That's always my plan.
Yeah, exactly. It was mine too. Usually what's needed in those moments is actually deep rest, not more work. And so we get caught in this kind of catch-22 that ends up happening to us. And it just pushes us closer and closer to that point of burning out. Mm-hmm. And a few signals to really be mindful of is I would encourage everyone to, as a result of this conversation, maybe after you listen to this episode, throughout the rest of today or this week, when something stressful happens, just start to check in and notice how the body is feeling and what are the ways that stress comes up for you. A lot of times, digestive issues come into play, an upset stomach, maybe constipation, any sort of indigestion. Our digestive system is really sensitive to the stress that we face. Also, our cardiovascular health. So for me, it was those heart palpitations. So that could be one of the big signals that, you know, this is really starting to build up and cause some higher level issues to start to develop. And then sleep. So especially one of my red flags that I hear about often is, you know, I haven't been sleeping well, but I've just kind of adjusted to it. And it's been this way for a couple of years. We're meant to be sleeping deeply and soundly, and we're meant to be getting enough deep and REM sleep, which is the dream sleep, every single night. That is our time for complete recovery of our body and of our brain. And so that's where, you know, I always make sure to highlight this, even though it sounds like something that's rather scary, but it's so important to know about that stress when it goes on for a really long time has the capacity to alter our brain chemistry. And a lot of those alterations to our brain balance And our serotonin, our mood, our energy are a result of poor sleep as well. Mm-hmm. So being mindful of that is so, so important. Please know that if you're sleeping poorly, it could get so much better. Our body is constantly trying to get us back into a state of balance. As soon as we take a sip of alcohol, our body is working to get us back to homeostasis. As soon as we have a bad night of sleep, our body is wanting to give us quality sleep. That's why we feel tired, to get us back to balance. Anytime we eat something that's unhealthy or just any other input that may not be best for our health, our body is immediately looking for ways to get us back to balance. And so the body is so resilient and it can get so much better. So just making sure that we're all being mindful of the ways that stress affects us and spotting those signals as they come up.
Well, and that comes right back to that awareness piece, that we can't fix it if we don't know that it's a signal, if we don't know it's a thing. And so even when we start to normalize stress and normalize the symptoms, if we say, I have indigestion and my stomach is just gurgling, and you know, it's normal. I've learned to cope with it. I've got whatever over the counter and I know where all the bathrooms are. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, that, or it's a signal that something's going on. And we can even take that to the same signals of homeostasis. You know, you eat a gas station hot dog and you get heartburn. That's not your body's way of saying, give me more gas station hot dogs. It's a way of saying, this actually didn't agree with me. This didn't go well. But how often do we just put, you know, tape over those signals and try and cover the lights that are going off, either by thinking our way out of stress? No, it's fine. I'll just get to whatever the next goal is, or, you know, I'll take an aspirin for my headache. I'll take whatever I need for whatever symptom. They are signposts that we are willfully ignoring and at our own detriment and our own quality of life.
Yeah. I love that you said that stress is a signal. That's something that I always highlight. Anytime I give a talk about stress and just reframing what stress really is, because I think we treat it as all negative. And for sure, these are undesirable symptoms, right? No one wants to be having stress headaches and migraines or sleeping poorly. But when we start to think of them as signals, like think of you getting in the car and you turn it on and there's a check engine light. That's exactly what's happening to you when any of these things are true for you, when they come up, right? That headache, body aches, back pain, in the absence of like strenuous hard work, all of these things are just signals. And I say that because one of my goals is to eliminate resistance to the stress. Eliminate resistance, right? Is same as with those emotions that we often don't want to feel. It's like, how about we just accept the stress that we're feeling right now and accept the signals and then do something that's actually going to help it, as opposed to just suppressing, putting those Band-Aid solutions, taking that Advil and just continuing to push through to the point of burning out.
And then within that, accepting the signals, I do believe, and maybe we'll have this as sort of our final little discussion piece here, is that these driven, motivated people that have learned the only way to be driven, motivated is to just go, 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 go. There is a balance where suddenly we can accomplish more without trying so hard and literally killing ourselves to succeed. Wow. That feels like it doesn't make sense. Can you untangle that we're not giving up who we are, but we're just giving up how we've done it?
Yes, I love that. And I resonate with that so much. This is probably the hardest advice for someone to accept when you're coming from a lifetime of overwork and high achievement, but everything that you want to create has to start and end with you, right? So any result, any area of your life where you currently feel like you're underperforming, usually the answer isn't just to work harder. If you're already working really hard and doing all the right things that you're told to do, usually the answer is replenishing yourself and really taking a step back, kind of like the example of the woman with the back pain that used to see you. Well, it sounds like her underlying source of stress was actually career change. And then everything else resolved itself. And so it's really interesting that we have this inability to see ourselves as the top of the food pyramid, even with parents. Even if you're a parent, maybe not of a newborn, maybe that's a
whole different animal.
Yeah, definitely. But if you have children and you want to be them for them fully, you have to make sure that you're nourished yourself fully. You can't give something that you don't have within yourself to give. It's like if you're trying to care for someone, but you're not caring for yourself first and foremost, what example is that setting for them? If you manage a team or you run your own company, what example are you setting for those around you for how they are going to be expected to function? And then is it really just this culture of stress and burnout that's being perpetuated? And so for sure, I think taking those moments to maybe take the full extent of your PTO or really just shut off on the weekend, right? Americans are still chronically the population that doesn't take all of the PTO that we're given, maybe to keep up a certain image or identity at work, whatever it might be. But giving yourself those breaks to empty the bucket fully to make sure that you think more clearly, are more well-rested, make fewer mistakes, right? When we're better rested, we make fewer mistakes at work and in our personal life. And so I think, yeah, putting yourself ahead of all of these things, just trying it out for a weekend. If this feels really foreign, and we know that coming back from a vacation or a long weekend away, we know that we're at our best. We feel refreshed. We feel more ready to perform at a higher level. So if that's something that you're really interested in, I think it's about starting with giving yourself that time back to make sure that you're nourished all the way.
Yeah. And just some of the examples that you gave, I mean, you make fewer mistakes, you get time back in each of those things that you don't have to do twice. And even just my patient, she got time back at least an hour, sometimes 2 hours a month where she wasn't coming and seeing me, plus the commuting time that I don't know how long it took her to get to my office, plus the time that her back pain slowed her down and kept her from doing what she wanted. She got all of that time back and got to use it more pleasurably. Not that spending a half hour in my office isn't totally enjoyable for all my patients, but doing so in pain is a totally different experience. Marina, thank you so much for joining us today. I think you illuminated this idea of self-awareness and self-control around stress just so beautifully to give us control and empower curiosity, which as a guiding light through stress and burnout really takes us to that sixth stage of creation, where now we're not in survival mode, just getting day to day, but we really get to be we get to orchestrate what we want to come next in our world. And that sounds like an incredible opportunity for anyone who wants to jump online.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you for all of your wisdom. And for any of our listeners who are interested in learning more about you, your work, or your offerings, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I can be found, my website is sumofallpositive.com. That's S-U-M of allpositive.com. That's me alluding to the fact that we should be taking a look at all the different things that we can be doing to support ourselves, as opposed to just taking that one-sided view to stress or health or whatever else in our life. I'm also Some of All Positive on Instagram. And through my website, anyone is able to book a complimentary 45-minute stress breakthrough call with me. I call it that very mindfully because my goal is to really start to understand and helping you understand where stress is coming from for you, how it's manifesting, and then walk away with quick wins. So what can you personally be doing in your life to make sure that stress stops affecting you on the level that it is today? So you can book that through sumofallpositive.com.
Beautiful. And we'll put all of that in the show notes so you know exactly where to go. Wonderful ambitions and wonderful opportunities. Thank you again, Marina. And thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you for joining in today. I really do hope that there are some tangible nuggets, some curiosities, or some questions that you can start asking yourself so that you can start to dismantle some of this constant stress that you're feeling in your life, or maybe share this with a friend. So do share, like, and send out this message, send out this podcast. That's how we get to keep sharing the message of hope and healing with our community. And we'll see you next time for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. Be well.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it. Now remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help.